It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Come every on. Team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Come every on. Team gon' get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power.
LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the
field. Oh, you kidding me? Let's freaking go. A commitment from Carius Kern from Arkansas. I played my high school football in the natural state, and this is the first commitment from the state of Arkansas since Brett Helms, the last offensive lineman. I talk about Brett Helms probably more than most LSU YouTubers because he was so freaking unbelievably underrated at LSU. And look, I understand not a lot of you, well, I say not a lot of you, but some of you don't care for recruiting this early in the process. But folks, look at what's happening. LSU has become an offensive line school. This has never really been the brand of the LSU Tigers. It's always been skill guys. It's always been defense and wide receivers. And LSU has not had a first-round offensive lineman in the NFL draft since 1998, which is absolutely insane considering LSU's success in the NFL draft. Now, that'll change next year with Emory Jones and Will Campbell. They are near vertical locks to going in the first round. But Carius Kern is a mean son of a gun. He is un-freaking-believably athletic. He has an absolute ridiculous amount of power to his game, and he reminds me a bit of Lance Hurd in that he carries his weight well. He is not a sloppy 320. And look, this is a guy who, according to people close to him, he ran a 4.8 40 yard dash. That is absolutely ridiculous athleticism. And I understand what a lot of you are going to say. Well, Carter, with you're never going to have to run a 40-yard dash if you're an offensive lineman. But according to NFL draft metrics, it actually kind of sort of is a signal if you are truly an athletic marvel at the offensive line position. And there is a viral clip of him doing a backflip somewhere, which is absolutely insane. So you just got to get these thoroughbreds in the stable, and you're getting him from Marion, Arkansas, coming down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to be a part of something special that Brian Kelly is building. But I know a lot of us, we got a few old schoolers in here. We got Skipper, Mix Old School. We got a lot of old schoolers that watch and are part of our PHL community. And what do old schoolers love more than anything else? They love a good cliche. They really do, right? You know, back then they grew up with all these sayings, okay? They have all these sayings. And what is one saying, if you are younger, that your grandpa probably told you, your meemaw probably told you? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. You probably have heard that before in some portion of your life. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Well, what just happened and what just transpired over the past couple of months is exactly that. The hand that fed Brad Davis has been bitten. So back in February, Carius Kern committed to the Arkansas Razorbacks. He is from, obviously, Arkansas. And Brad Davis, when he took the LSU job, came over from Arkansas. And guess what? Who is the mentor of Brad Davis? Well, it's Sam Pittman. Sam Pittman was Brad Davis's offensive line coach at Oklahoma. Sam Pittman gave Brad Davis an offensive line GA job at North Carolina. Sam Pittman gave Brad Davis an offensive line coaching job at Arkansas. Now, Brad Davis also earned it because he is a very talented and special coach, but every single coach has a mentor. every single coach has a mentor or an inspiration. And what did Brad Davis just do? What did he just do? Well, he bit the hand that fed him. So he was able to flip Carius Kern to LSU in a world where Sam Pittman is in free fall. He is probably the worst coach in the SEC right now. A guy that most thought he would be fired. And he wasn't. And what happens? Well, Sam Pittman, in the minds of everyone, is the number one offensive line developer in the country. As an offensive line coach, Mitty would put Sam Pittman number one. He's definitely in the top 10. And, you know, I gave you the stat a minute ago. LSU has not had a first-round offensive lineman since 1998. Well, Sam Pittman has had seven. He has had seven offensive linemen go in the first round. So Sam Pittman has the brand. But LSU is changing that. LSU went into Arkansas's backyard. Arkansas rarely has top 100 recruits. Rarely. They average probably one top 100 recruit every single year. One to one and a half. Rarely do they have more than two. Last year they had three, but rarely do they have more than two. And this is the only one. This is the only true blue chip recruit in the state of Arkansas. Sam Pittman, his brand. This kid was committed to Arkansas. And Brad Davis said no. Brad Davis said, I like this kid. I'm going to go and get him. And what happened was he committed, obviously, to Arkansas. And then after all of that, he decommitted. And there was many surrounding LSU that thought Carius Kern was going to commit pretty quickly. False news. And just a few weeks ago, there was Arkansas fans saying Arkansas's back in the lead for Carius Kern. And then Missouri came in. And we know Missouri can throw a bag at an offensive lineman. They did it this last year. Okay? The truth remains the same. Okay? Carius Kern is a freaking dude. And Brad Davis said, look, I'm going to go get me a dude. Even if it means biting the hand that fed him. Because, you know, Arkansas just don't really have a whole lot of momentum. They have none. And what has happened under Sam Pittman is their elite guys go to other schools. So give Brad Davis an absolute frick ton of credit for not giving up, going after a guy that he really wanted. And it's not just Brad Davis. It's a team of people at LSU. But I give him a lot of credit. We saw Marcus holding it down on Facebook. Big dog Dex is in here. Releasey Dex Productions. BT wants to talk about the LSU roster. Pick six is in the hizzy. LA Mom is here as well. Brian actually texted me. I've had an absolutely busy week. What's another saying, Mick? I remember my dad saying 50 years ago. Wait, you had another one in here. Poop in one hand and wish in the other and see which one fills up first. That one, okay. I wish I never said that. That is just an absolutely gross visualization. But welcome in to each and every one of you. Now, who will Brian Kelly's next recruiting target be? There's a few out there. Obviously, LSU is really going big game hunting in many ways. So they really, really, really want to keep this momentum going, and it should be interesting. Now, I did change the lighting a little bit. Type Y for yes, type N for no. It's still the same old purple backdrop. Let me know if you like it. So there you go. Let's see. We say hi to Don in Little Rock. Big Al says, sound good to him. I like it. We'll go to Brian's question here. As we always do. we are open for business. $20 Super Chat. I'm still waiting for someone. I mean, I absolutely love this card. I guess people just don't like Drew Brees on here. I'm looking for a $25 Super Chat. Whoever gives a $25 Super Chat gets this holographic Drew Brees Silver Prism card in the mail from yours truly. Okay. So I think we're going to get it. I think we're going to clear it. I think we're going to have our first Hundo Super Chat night, at least since last Thursday. I appreciate you guys in advance. I believe it's going to happen. Now, I want to chat a little bit, and just a little bit here about what's going down this weekend. The way I understand it is Bryce Underwood is visiting LSU yet again, and Harlan Berry will be visiting as well. Now, what I feel LSU's next big target will be is more focused on the defensive side of the football when it comes to recruiting. Obviously, they're working on a few defensive linemen. Bo Davis is really putting in work. And then at defensive back. And it should be interesting because one guy who is under quite a bit of pressure is Corey Raymond. You know, Corey Raymond comes in and he is known as the transcendent recruiter. He is the one guy who, of all the coaches that came back, has a long history at LSU. Now, the other coaches, they do have some history at LSU with obviously Bo Davis, you know, playing and coaching here briefly. And then, of course, obviously Blake Baker as well. You also tie in that he was at Louisiana Tech. Also tie in Kevin Peoples was once at Tulane. So there is a lot of Louisiana flavor, but the truth here is Corey Raymond's the guy with the reputation. And I remember this. There is a booster that watches his channel, and he texted me during last season, and he said, Carter, we're going to go get Corey Raymond. We're going to go get him back. We're going to bring him back to the glory days of the LSU defensive backfield. And look, I'm interested to see how this is going to work out. That wasn't the direction I would have gone. I would have gone with Chevis Jackson. But Corey Raymond, his resume is hard to ignore. He is one of the best defensive back coaches in SEC history. He is one of the most prolific LSU assistant coaches ever. And he has a reputation. But, you know, LSU is really pushed for the elite DBs. You know, they have put a lot of time and resources into going after DJ Pickett. And we go to Cliff here. The biggest difference Corey Raymond makes is the caliber of DBs he recruits. He goes big game hunting. I mean, he gets after it. But will he deliver? That's going to be the big question mark going into next year. Because one of his big calling cards is his recruiting. Now, his actual defensive back coaching is definitely something that you should probably be skeptical of because, you know, obviously the last four secondaries he's coached, none of them have been good. Now, how much of that is on him? How much of that is on the DC? It's probably more the DC than him because that's the one that actually calls the plays. But it is going to be massive that he's able to bring in some elite DBs because I will tell you this, as time has moved on, there has been such a major focus on the LSU defensive tackle room and the LSU defensive line as a whole. I personally am more concerned about the secondary. You know, as days go by, I have always been a little bit more concerned about the secondary. I think, you know, your defensive line is very important. It's so important to be deep there. I do think there are some ways you can work around with what LSU has, especially considering their defensive end play should be a lot better this year. You know, you saw last year how much missing Bijo Ojulari really, you know, put the LSU defense in a tizzy. And now, you know, the cupboard is a little bit bare up the middle. But I think in some ways, the openness of the LSU defensive tackle room excites me. Because every single person that wants to play is going to need to earn their playing time. What I have always said, though, is my biggest concern in any sport, every single sport, I say this, the worst thing you can be is not bad. If you're bad, at least you know you're bad. Everybody knows you're bad. But what's worse than being bad is being bad when people think you're actually good. And I do think there is a larger segment of LSU fans that feels really good about this LSU secondary because Corey Raymond's now here. Because a lot of the secondary that played last year is back this year. And what I would tell you is the single best member of the LSU secondary, the most consistent, the leader, the talisman, the guy that really stepped up for us last year was Andre Sam. And he was a year seven guy with a lot of experience, with a great story, who played his ass off. And he's gone. He is no longer here. And incoming are a lot of defensive backs that are portal guys. The one thing that Andre Sam had over every single one of these DBs, outside of maybe Jordan Gilbert and maybe a few others, is he had a crap ton of experience and a crap ton of playing time. And for the most part, a good bill of recent health. And Andre Sam is going to be a loss. Now, is Andre Sam the absolute freaking best safety we've ever had? No. Not even in the top 10 of the modern era. But he was good. He was good. And he put a lot of lipstick on what was a bad defense for us. I couldn't imagine what our defense would have looked like if we didn't have him. And truth be told, I felt he was playing a little out of position. I think he's a little bit better closer to the line of scrimmage. So I'm interested to see what happens in his professional career. But I miss him. He definitely was an easy guy to root for. But we got to turn the page. And we need some guys to step up. We do.
Okay? We really, really, really do.
Gone too soon. Only his seventh year. Yeah, Chance, look. I am ready for the COVID year stuff to surpass us. I think we still have like a year or two of guys that can stretch out COVID eligibility into year five and year six. But man, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. And look, LSU, probably more so than most schools, have been the biggest beneficiary of the COVID year. I mean, they really have had a lot of guys step up and play as like year six kind of guys. Austin Deculus was one. And now, obviously, all the way up until now, half of your running back room is year six. So, take a look at the poll question. Where are you from in Louisiana? 55% of you say South, 11% of you say Central, 18% of you say North, and 16% of you say you're not from Louisiana. Now, look, Big Al right on cue, Austin Deculus. Huh?
Always a fan favorite.
I need some big hairy woman to grow my hair out.
So you want the hat backwards or frontwards?
I like to switch back and forth. I do. Now, I know a lot of us like to venture off into different topics. I had a very fun convo with a friend of the channel earlier today. about Tennessee versus Texas A&M. And I cannot believe I'm about to say, go freaking Rocky Top. Take care of business, please. Hell, put Lance Hurd in the batter's box. I don't care. Whatever it takes to beat Texas A&M. Well, Carter, I don't like Tony Vitello. So what? It's not as bad as Texas A&M winning. Not as bad as Texas A&M winning. Texas A&M fans so freaking excited that they just had King George there. Little did they know King George. That was not his first college football stadium he's done. He has performed in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I was there that night. That was the first ever country concert I attended. King George and his opener was some lady with red hair. I don't remember. She sang a song like Fancy, I think that was the name of it. That was his opener. Really launched her career. And that show was crazy. But like Texas A&M fans are like so excited about that. And they should. It's King George. But we can't let them win. We cannot let Texas A&M win a national championship. It is so funny that their last national championship is in meat judging. Meat judging. So really, really need Tennessee to win. Now, as Chance does point out, Noah Cain. I remember Noah Cain, not to be confused with Cain, the running back last year. Noah Cain was a good LSU reliever under Paul Manieri. So, yes, I guess that's a positive. So, Chance checking me on that. So, I hope Noah Cain wins. But I'm pulling for Tennessee. I just can't get there with Texas A&M. And look. And Chance, come on. Women's tennis, come on. Good for them. And I like tennis. I do. But the meat judging thing is just funnier. Let's not get technical here. I'm going for Tennessee. When does it even start? I don't even know. I've not really watched the College World Series. I will watch every single second of a regional. World Series, I don't know why. I don't know why I don't like the World Series as much. Regionals, man, nothing beats college baseball's regionals. Nothing. As many of you know, I am a believer in LSU football this next year. We talked a little bit about the schedule yesterday, and I always recommend you go print off an SEC football schedule matrix. Man, the schedule matrix really helps clear your mind and see if you can find any advantages for your team on that schedule. And obviously at this point, the SEC championship game does not really mean anything anymore. So your main goal is to avoid losing. That's it. That is it. No, and no one cares who you beat. Nobody. Just make sure you don't lose. And man, I keep going back to the schedule. And I keep telling myself that LSU is going to be a 5-0 team to start the year. All right? I keep telling myself that LSU is going to be a 5-0 team to start the year. But I do have one big piece of optimism. And I do think it is very important to think also in this way. And it's not going to be popular at all, and that's coming up right after this.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection, and when I started, I wish There was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. So, once again, big thanks to Paul Hickey and his support of what we're doing here at nooffseason.com. Check it out. Now, I want to ask you this question. What if LSU loses versus USC? Is there a world where LSU finishes the year 11-1, which is basically what they would need to do? Obviously, with pretty much any SEC schedule, if you go 10-2, you're going to get into the college football playoff. Okay? One loss versus USC does not kill the season. One loss. Hold on 1 second. Something's going on. Yeah, what happened? Something's going on with me. What's wrong?
I don't know.
Okay. All right, here I come. All right, looks like might have to cut the stream short. Let me go see what's going on here. I think our dog is having an emergency. And then, of course, that obviously is not allowed to happen. I'm going to go check in on this. I won't end the stream. I'll play a press conference or something along those lines. So let me see. Yeah, here I come. All right. Well, I will end this. We might start another live stream pretty soon. Obviously, we always go an hour. I normally like to go an hour, but I obviously there's an emergency. I have to go take care of. So I love each and every one of you, and we might be live here in just a second. Okay.